Hello, let's do it again. It's time to practice reading and speaking American English. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with As It Is. Today, we will begin with a look at a dangerous situation in Turkey. As the country becomes more modern, many builders have been injured in work-related incidents. We will have details. Then, problems between China and the Philippines. Yes, once again, it involves who owns parts of the ocean. If you are ready, we'll get started with part one. 10 years ago, Istanbul had no extremely tall buildings called skyscrapers. Today, Istanbul is suddenly the skyscraper capital of Europe, thanks to a national construction boom. But as we hear from Bob Doty, recent construction accidents in the country have many people angry about worker safety.
So far this year, a record 1,500 workers have died in Turkey. Earlier this month, 10 construction workers were killed when the brakes on an elevator failed. The workers plummeted or fell suddenly 32 floors down. A woman screams for her lost son at his funeral. He was one of the 10 workers killed in September's construction accident. Two twin teenage brothers who had started working the week before were among the dead. Many workers claimed the accident was very likely. The accident was widely reported by Turkish media. Thousands of protesters gathered in downtown Istanbul, where the accident took place. They chanted, "It's not a work accident. It's murder." But police officers quickly ended the demonstrations by using tear gas and water cannons. Experts say public concern is growing about the health and safety of construction workers. Cengiz Aktar is a professor of economics at Istanbul's Süleyman Şah University. He says that Turkey has among the worst work safety conditions in the world.
The lack of control, lack of worker safety and working environment are appalling. And Turkey is ranked number one in Europe in terms of work accidents, and apparently number three after Algeria and El Salvador in the world. Observers qualify these work accidents as work assassination.
Turkish Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu has promised to investigate this and other accidents this year. But he says that trade unions are part of the problem. Mr. Davutoğlu says laws are introduced and then there is nothing done to educate workers about them. He says the trade unions should not raise their voices after these accidents. Unions should inform workers about their rights. But trade union leaders say that the government's ruling AK party needs to remove old anti-labor laws introduced in the 1980s by Turkish military leaders. Professor Aktar says many workers who go into construction are more concerned about simply finding a job than finding a safe job. And many are not members of the trade union.
It's an industry which employs probably millions of people. These are mainly former peasants. As Turkey is liquidating its agriculture, they have nowhere to go and they are ready to accept any job. So they don't look for safety, they don't look for, social security. And of course, the employers hate the labor unions. The pool of unemployed is very sizable, so they can look for, other workers and get rid of those who are at the labor union.
Migrant workers from Turkey's rural Black Sea area built many of Istanbul's skyscrapers. Nearly all of the construction workers killed earlier this month came from that area. Most workers will return to the job in 10 to 15 days. But some will not be returning. According to Turkish media reports, about 20 men who spoke to the media about their safety concerns have been fired. That may mean they will be safe, but for their families back home who depend on them for income, they will likely go hungry. I'm Bob Doty.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA, Washington. In 2013, the Philippines was named Country of Honor at the China-ASEAN Expo in the Chinese city of Nanning. But Philippine officials say President Benigno Aquino was not invited to the event last year or this year. They say he is not welcome because of an arbitration case against China. The Philippine government launched the case to fight China's claim that it controls much of the South China Sea. The Chinese embassy in Manila refused a Voice of America request to discuss the relationship between the two countries. But as we hear from Katie Weaver, some experts say the dispute over territory is making relations difficult.
Ramel Banlawi is executive director of the Philippine Institute for Peace, Violence, and Terrorism Research in Manila. He says the sea dispute is hurting relations.
It's still in a very sour political state. The relationship is still at its lowest point.
A Philippine foreign affairs official says an agreement in 2011 between President Aquino and then-President Hu Jintao guides the country's relationship. Charles Jose is a foreign affairs spokesman.
Both countries should not let the territorial dispute affect the overall relationship. So on the part of the Philippines, we are willing to extract and isolate our territorial dispute and deal with this separately. But at the same time, we try to promote and strengthen the other areas of our cooperation with China.
The spokesman also said that tourism and trade between the two countries remains strong. Official Philippine records show the number of Chinese visiting the Philippines has sharply increased over the last 3 years. And Philippine exports to China were higher than imports from China in 2011 and 2013. But in 2012, Philippine exports suffered because China announced restrictions on banana imports. Observers say the limits may have been linked to the disagreement about rights to the South China Sea. And Mr. Banlawi of the Philippine Institute says more Filipinos still invest in China than the other way around. Some observers have said the current tense relationship between the Philippines and China will not change soon. The main reason, they say, is because the Aquino administration